Morning, everyone. We're going to continue now in Pirkei Avos with the second Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik, Hayah Mishari Knesset HaGadola. Shimon HaTzadik, picking up after the Anshei Knesset HaGadola, he was from the Shiare. What does Shiare mean? He was from the remnants of the Anshei Knesset HaGadola, meaning Shimon HaTzadik lived post Churban. Right? He lived during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash, and he lived post Beis HaMikdash. He was one of the remnants of the Anshei Knesset HaGadola. The Anshei Knesset HaGadola were the 120 rabbis who made it the corpus of Judaism. All rabbinic Judaism today can come back to the Anshei Knesset HaGadola. We just daven Shachris. Where did we get a sitter from? The Anshei Knesset HaGadola established the sitter. Brachos, every single bracha that we have today was created by the Anshei Knesset HaGadola. So he was from the remnants of them, and he said three things. Hu haya omer, he said three things. Now, what does hu haya omer mean? We'll get to what he said. Now, what does this mean, hu haya omer?
He used to say.
He used to say. So everybody...
Change.
Right. Change. All the Mefarshim say the following. Hu haya omer was Rabbi Shimon's bumper sticker. We don't have bumper stickers anymore. We have bumper magnets. But what I mean is that what is your saying, right? After 120, what are your kids going to say that they always said about you?
Clean up your room.
Clean up your room. So if that's all your parents are, you know, your kids are going to say about you, okay. So that's your motto. I love a neat room. But at your essence, the Eki motto. Yeah, you're right. So really what you're saying, David, is Mesorah, that's really what you're saying. So now Shimon HaTzadik was something, and we'll go through all of really Pirkei Avos, is this phrase that everybody always says. Right, everybody always says. It's a wild story. It's very sad, actually. You guys heard of Zero Mastel?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah?
Fiddle.
He won Fiddle on the Roof, right?
Fiddle.
So...
It was the original film.
Yeah. I think he won an Oscar for something else. Why was he called Zero? Why was his name Zero Mastel? Such a strange name. The reason why, they asked him, why was his name Zero Mastel? That wasn't his name. He had like some Yiddish Hebrew name. Is because his father always said to him, you're nothing. You're an FS, you're an ayin, you're a zero, you're going to amount to nothing, you're going to do nothing with your life. Yeah, Google it. Google later. And so what his father used to call him became his name, FS. I'm an FS, right? It's sad. So hu haya omer, what is our bumper sticker? So Shimon HaTzadik says, al shlosh advarim ha'olam amid. On three things, the world is omeid. What's omeid mean? What? It stands. Ala Torah, v'al avoda, v'al gemilas chasadim. This is the Mishnah that if you went to Jewish day school, you know this Mishnah from a very young age. Right? What are the three things the world stands on? It is limud Torah. It's avoda. Avoda is, it's either korbanos or davening. And Gemilas Chasadim. Now, any questions? Any questions before I get into...
That order?
Oh, good question. In that order. Is that the right order? If you had to, you know, if you were writing this Mishnah, and you had Torah, Avodah, and Chesed, what order would you put it in?
What comes first?
Chesed, why would Chesed would go first, David? Very good. Why Chesed first?
No Torah without
Derech Eretz Kadmo Torah. Derech Eretz. Not the Kemach one, but the Derech Eretz Kadmo Torah. So Chesed goes first, okay? What would be number two?
Avodah.
What? Avodah. Tefillah, why? That's that Avodah, and then Torah last. So this order itself is strange. And the Babich Rebbe asked the question like this. He says, Torah which one of the Avos is Torah?
Yaakov.
Which one of the Avos is Avodah, is the pillar of Tefillah?
Yitzchak.
And Chesed's Avram. It's backwards. Yaakov, Yitzchak, Avram. It's not in chronological order. What's going on here? So we will see, Rabbi Lau in his Haggadah, in his Pirkei Avos, he finds a Midrashim that actually has it in a different order. And he gives a whole shot as to why the order is the way it is and what do the other orders mean. Okay, number two. Why is it called, we call it Gemilos Chasadim. Why is it called Gemilos Chesed? Gemilos Chasadim. It's plural. It doesn't say Alha Limudei Torah, Alha Avodot. But it does say Gemilos Chasadim on the multiple Chasadim that you do. Why is that plural and the other two are singular? They're Yachid versus Rabin. And third, let's learn a little bit about Shimon HaTzadik's life before we get into anything else to frame historically and maybe more accurately what he was saying clearer. So who was Shimon HaTzadik? Shimon HaTzadik, already Rabbeinu Yonah points out, he was the Kohen Gadol. He was a Kohen Gadol that, it's a fascinating story, he lived during the times of Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great was literally taking over the entire world. One day, Alexander the Great went up to his army and said, our next stop is Israel. Probably said Palestine, right? That's our next stop. So he went to, he went on his horse towards Israel. Shimon HaTzadik got a ring from Shemayim, and Shimon HaTzadik went out to greet him. Alexander the Great, with his army. Shimon HaTzadik went off of his horse. When Alexander the Great, standing at the border of Eretz Israel, when Alexander the Great saw this man, Shimon HaTzadik, who he never personally met before in his life, he got off of his horse. Amen. Just, this is the leader. He's taking over the entire world. He got off of his horse. And what did he do? He bowed to Shimon HaTzadik.
So we come, get off your high horse.
Oh, get off your high horse. There you go. We had a first. So now, all of his advisors said to him, what's going on here? Who's this guy that you're bowing down to? You're the most powerful person in the world. Who is this guy? He says, I don't know his name. But I'll tell you something. Every single day, every single night, the night before I go into battle against another country, against another nation, I see somebody in my dream. And that person in my dream says that I'm going to win because they've never lost a battle. And you know who that person is? It's this man right here. So I'm going to bow to him and I want to hear what he has to say. So Shimon HaTzadik, wild, right? Shimon HaTzadik says, don't attack the Jewish people. You don't need us. We're better on your side than against you. So he acquiesced. He agreed. And then Shimon HaTzadik did something. Anyone have a family member named Alexander?
Rabbi.
The rabbi does. Rabbi's father, right? So where does that come? Alexander is not a Hebrew name. How did it become? How did it become that? So because of the story. Shimon HaTzadik, as a Karas HaTov for Alexander the Great, he commanded, or he demanded from all the Jewish women that their next child, entire country, right? Popular baby names for whatever year that was like Menachem Mendel. They say, someone told me, Noah and Tamar. In Israel now is the two most popular baby names for girls. So the most popular, they said, you have to please name your child Alexander. That's a Karas HaTov to Alexander the Great, and everyone will show it to him. And that's how the name Alexander, right? Amazing. Became part of the Jewish, the Jewish names. That's how it made it into the book because of this.
Is it true that he gave himself the appellation the Great?
I don't know. This is Shir HaTzadik. I don't know about Alexander. I'm not sure. Usually, people like that do, right? That's generally the way it works. We'll look that up. So, Just one last story about Shimon HaTzadik to show something great about him. Go to the next page. We'll see this one inside. It's Gemara in Yuma. Tanur Rabbanan. Osa Shana Shemezba Shimon HaTzadik. The year that Shimon HaTzadik died, Amar Lahem, you know, he told people in the beginning of the year that he was going to die. He knew, he felt it, that he's going to die. And he said, how do you know you're going to die this year? He said, because every single year on Yom Kippur, I go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And every single year, I see a Zaken Echad. I see an elderly man in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And every single year, he is Atuf Levanim. He is clothed... What?
He was the Kohen Gadol.
He was Kohen Gadol, yeah. He was clothed in white clothing. But this year, I see this man. I saw this man in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And he was not wearing white. He was wearing black clothing. And I knew my time on this earth was up. Wild Gemara. Now I'll tell you, so Rabbi Soloveitchik explains this Gemara so beautifully. He says, what does this mean? A leader, he says, the man that Shimon HaTzadik saw in the Kodesh HaKadoshim was representative of the Jewish people. That's like the corpus of Klal Yisrael in that man. And the job of a leader is to always see the people in a positive way. White. Atuf Levanim. To see them in their potential and what they could be, maybe not even who they are right now. Accentuate the positive. And Shimon HaTzadik, for many, many years, he was able to do that. But after many years, he got jaded. He got cynical. And this year, Kodesh HaKadoshim, he sees this man, he's wearing Atuf Shechorim. He's wearing dark clothing. He's wearing black clothing. He knew his time was up. He couldn't be the leader of the Jewish people anymore. You can't be the leader of the Jewish people if you don't see the greatness of your people. And that's when he stopped. Based on this Gemara, now this is amazing. Rabbi Soloveitchik, many of you may know, had 3 shivas in 1 year. He lost his wife, and both parents, I believe, in 1 year. And he said that he sensed it. He would get psicha for Ne'ilah every year. And that year, one of the Sifrei Torah almost fell out. And he quoted this Gemara. He said something, you know, for a spiritual giant like the Rav, he was able to sense something. He happened to be after that. People say that his shir, before he had this year and afterwards, was very, very different. He was very, very different. He was very harsh with the boys beforehand. He'd ask you to read the Gemara. If you mispronounce the word, you're done. If you gave a bad reasoning, they say, I heard this story recently, that Beryl Wine was not a YU guy, but he wanted to experience the Rav Shir. So he got there very early and took a seat. And they said, you don't want to sit in the room. Because if you're not learning the Sugya, and if you're not really holding in it, you're going to get ripped to shreds. So he sat outside the room and listened in. Because just be careful. And that's exactly what he said. That's the way it was. You had to really, really be on top of your game. After the Rav experienced this year, you can ask, speak to Rabbi Yudin, speak to others. It's written about too, that he was much, much warmer, much, much calmer, much, very different relationship with the boys. Very few people. Only one person that I was in their shir, that they cold call on Talmidim in the room. Only one. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. That's his son-in-law. He also did that, but not, again, very, very calm, very, very kind. You know, if you read, he gave an explanation, he was always, you know, tried to find whatever you said, what he was trying to say anyway. Is a tremendous midos. Yeah.
Based on what you just said about Shimon, I've said it with the attributes and how he felt.
Yeah.
When he died, I think that's why Aaron was the Kohen Gadol in that Moshe.
Correct.
Because of the same type of thing, because he
yeah.
Yeah.
Moshe was a leader, but he didn't have the attributes that you describe.
Right.
To be the Kohen Gadol.
They say Moshe was Din and Aaron was Chesed. Right? Moshe, he didn't have patience. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, like, if somebody came to him and asked him a question that didn't make any sense, it was hard for him to, like, sit with him. It was hard. Versus an Aaron HaKohen would say, this is probably what you meant, no? I guess so. You know, like, he was much, much more kinder and patient. And again, that was the Rav's life. That was the Rav's experience post this year. But it's fascinating, based on this Gemara over here. So let's get into some interpretations of what's going on. So Rabbi Twersky, second page over here. What's Olam Omeid? What does it mean, Ha'olam Omeid? The world stands? Does the world stand? So Ritursky points out over here, we find the term usually means olam over, that the world, this world that we live in, is transitory. It's applied to our earthly existence. Olam omeid, he says, is your permanent world, applied to the eternal, spiritual world. He writes, a life of physical indulgence is indeed transient. So olam over, this world, is over. It passes by. Most things in this life we don't take with us. That's why the Mishnah says, Olam Omeid. If you want to make, you know, take what you make in this world into the next world, what stands is your Torah, Avoda, and Chesed. All right, you can't take much with you. We know the story about the socks? No? There's a story, I think it was one of the Rothschilds. He passed away, and he wrote in his will, when I pass away, please look in my sock drawer. I left a note for you. So there's a drawer. There's two notes in there. One note is open up immediately upon my passing, and the second note is open up 30 days after my passing. And the note says, all it says is, I'm sure now that you've heard about my passing, please, I make one final request. I would like to be buried in my socks. Okay, and if you're there Friday night, in both socks, not in one sock. So in both socks. So this is tumult. What do you mean? You could bury in both your socks. It's crazy. They went to the Rav of the town. He said, absolutely not. You can't be buried in your socks. They went to the Gedolim and this, and nobody could find a heter. You know, usually we say, and we try to be very, very careful, to mitzvah l'chaim divrei mace. We're very, very careful. Things that a mace wants, we really, really try within halacha to do it. But here, sorry, there's nothing that we can do. You can't be buried in your socks. So, okay, they buried him without his socks on, against his wishes. 30 days later, they open up the second envelope, and it says, I'm sure, this is to his family, I'm sure you've seen by now, that I can't even, as much wealth as I amassed in my life, I can't even bring my socks with me. The only thing that I could bring with me in this world is my Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim. Right, Tversky says, that's Olam Omeid, right? That's what is firmly established that we bring to the next world. That is not Olam Omeid. That's not Olam Over. Now, okay, amazing. Now the Mishnah, the fascinating thing is that we have a Mishnah later on in the first parak. I believe it's Mishnah Yud Gimel Yud Dalet. The Mishnah there says, Al Shlosha Dvarim HaOlam Kayam. There are three things in which the world was established. And what are those three things? Din, Emes, and Shalom. The world is established through three things: judgment, truthfulness, and peace.
And what?
Peace. Shalom. Now the question is,
how about reckoning?
Okay. Nathan has a number four. Yeah, could be. So now, what is it? Our Mishnah says, Al Shlosha Dvarim HaOlam Omeid. The world stands on three things, Torah, Avodah, Chesed. The other Mishnah says, Al Shlosha Dvarim HaOlam Kayam, Din, Emes, and Shalom. So what's the difference between those two Mishnahs?
They must be talking about two different things.
Okay, good. So, right, so what is it? What are the two different things that we are talking about over here? So Rav Ari Levin. Rav Ari Levin in his parish in Pirkei Avos, it's over here, right below Rav Twersky. He writes, Ravi Levin was a tzaddik. He was known as the tzaddik of Yerushalayim. And no, Joel, he didn't give himself that appellation, right? Gedolim don't give themselves the term Gadol Hador. But I think rock stars give themselves greatest rock star of the generation, right? There's a little bit of a difference there. So he writes the following. He says, the second paragraph, L'zeh pireish lo nivra ha'olam ela bishvil gimel dvar malalu ritzono lomar. Shikan dibra kavanos ha'metzios ha'adam shuhu lahasig ha'shlemius halalu. When we're talking about an individual's obligation towards themselves and towards their own strive for perfection, their job is Torah, Avoda, and Chesed. Right? We have to have three portfolios, and we have to continuously stock up those portfolios of Torah, Avoda, and Chesed. However, Ha'olam Omeid, what does that refer to? That refers to our community. The communal standards, or the world, right? Us, in the context of the community, what are the three standards we need to live by? Din, Emes, and Shalom. Individually, we have to strive for Torah, Avodah, and Chesed. But when you think about what, you know, regulates a community, those three rules are Din, judgment, that means following the Torah, Emes, truthfulness at all costs, and Shalom, peace. Those three things are super important when it comes to communal standards. Community versus the individual over here. What?
In that order.
In that order. Good question. Yeah, I don't know if they're... What do you mean, MS versus Shalom?
I don't know. If I would put it, I feel, especially today, because it's like, fine, this is the biggest problem in the world today. There's no MS.
There's no MS in the world. It's a big problem.
I think if there's no MS in the world,
I don't like to speak about. Yeah, I don't like to speak about politics a lot, especially from the pulpit. But 3 years ago, when we had the presidential race, one thing that I did speak about, I spoke at a Kol Nidre night downstairs, was no matter who's going to win, both candidates had a big problem with honesty. It was a big problem with honesty, and it's a very sad thing. Maybe all of us, we're grown up already. We're stuck in our own ways in a very good way. You know, we're in tune to this. We're sensitive to it. But for my children and for the kids that are growing up in this generation, I said, for whoever is going to win, for their leader not to be invested in honesty is a very sad reality. It's very sad. You want the leaders of your country, Jew, non-Jew, whatever it is, you want them to be people that represent honesty. You know, are they good people? Are they bad people? Do they like Israel? They don't like Israel. You'd expect at a certain point there's an honesty, there's an integrity that people and leaders especially represent. And that's very, very sad that we live in a generation where that's like literally gone out the window.
Even previous generation, how often have we had an honest president?
Okay, you can question
it. Doesn't
things.
Go with the title.
You're right.
It's impossible.
Right, it's very sad.
You're making
I think
deals
it's sad.
To get where you are.
Yeah, I think it's very, very
no
sad.
Way you can be president and be honest at the same time.
That's a
sad.
Sin.
But honesty
yeah.
is still going out the window.
Even in Israel, yeah.
Come on.
But I think, therefore, I think that it's more incumbent upon us to be extra careful and scrupulous in the way that we talk and what we say and what comes out of our mouth and how we express ourselves and how, you know, and to be very careful about honesty. You know, not only with Kiddush Hashem and what, just in our own life, speaking to our own children.
Can't hear you, Joe.
For a leader? No. You know, it's a good question. I like to say no, that they don't. But leaders are very. Leadership in general, I'm leaving out rabbinic leadership because I think that's like a different standard. But when it comes to kings, just look back at, you know, Navi, all of Navi. Look back at leaders in America. Look back at, not to God forbid compare that they're equal, all those things. Leaders in other countries. And sometimes it doesn't. It's like, if we would have known what JFK was doing behind closed doors, would we have still have said that he's one of the greatest presidents to live? I don't know. That's not, I don't want, I don't want my children having his picture on my, on their wall.
He's not the only one.
He's not the only one. He's not the only one.
The
he's not the only one. But I think it's very, very, but when it comes to leadership, it's its own series, for a mini series on leadership. It's very complicated.
Everybody's having
right. So you're right. You're right. And sometimes to the American public or to the public itself, you can't say everything. That's true. That's true across the board. But when it comes to immorality and it comes to, you know, being unethical, that's very scary. George Washington.
Give him a microphone.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
do we care? Told a lie.
Do we care?
Is that important enough?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Rabbit.
I think we look at leaders in two different ways. They're them as the individual and them as the leader. You know, they say you can't determine whether a president was a good president, you know, until like 20 to 50 years down the line. Because you don't know all the policies that they make now. You really don't know how they're going to. They may look good now. They may look bad now. But you really won't know that. And some presidents looked amazing. They did a great job of looking really good while they're in office. And then 10, 15, 20 years later, you're like, what? Like, what were you doing? And my students are learning modern. They learn the 20th century during in history. So we talk about it a lot in terms of leadership. But I think it requires a lot more study in terms of really understanding that. One, I was with Rabbi Sachs. I've spoken at this. I had a luncheon with him once. So the first thing that he said to us, we're the Kol Elyon. It's 15 guys post-Smicha. You know, it's hard to get in. And he said, many of you are going to be leaders in the communities and be leaders for the Jewish people. The first thing he said to us was, in the Psukim in Parshas Vayikra, the talk about the Korbanos, about leadership, it says, you know, this one, if you messed up, the Kohen Gadol has got to bring this type of Korban, and this guy's got to bring this Korban. And then when it comes to the Nasi, when it's the leader of the Jewish people, what does it say? Asher Nasi Yechta. When the Nasi messes up, he's going to breathe this Korban. Not key. If. Not if it's going to.
Definitely will.
When you mess up, meaning, Rabbi Sachs said, you're going to make mistakes, right? You're going to make mistakes. The question is how you deal with the repercussions, right? There's a lot, again, I think of a lot of Torah on this related to, and again, a very powerful way, because it doesn't have historical ramifications. But if you look at the PED scandals in baseball, you guys know I'm a baseball fan. If you look at the PED scandals in baseball and how people relate to them after the scandal came out, right? So if they fessed up to it and owned it, then people relate to them much better than ones that are still in denial, right? There's what to say about that. You know, don't mess up first. Don't cheat, period. But if you cheat, God forbid, like David HaMelech, we could talk about this for a very, very long time, about the big mistakes that he made, and his life was ruined after Bathsheba. He was a king for many, many more years after that. But, you know, there's a lot more to talk about.
Up to it
and
you want to be forgiven.
Yeah. You know, we'll leave this off for the next time. But if you look in this box over here, this is fascinating. This is Rabbi Lau's Pirkei Avos. He analyzes this, and he says that this statement of Shimon HaTzadik comes up three places in rabbinic literature. It comes up in Pirkei Avos, it comes up in the Yerushalmi, and it comes up in the Mechilta. And just put your hand over the first column, and then look at 1, 2, 3. So in the Pirkei Avos, it's Torah, Avodah, and Chesed. In Yerushalmi, it's Torah, Chesed, Avodah. And in the Mechilta, it's Chesed, Torah, Avodah. So Rabbi Lau says it depends really what your focus is. The focus of Pirkei Avos is individual growth. So he writes, individual growth first has to be rooted in Torah. Torah, Tefillah, then Chesed. I mean, you'd argue maybe that's counterintuitive.
Rabbi, the 1, 2, 3 is order of importance or an order of what you should do first?
The order that it's presented, the order that it's presented in that, that place, and he assumes that means importance. Right? So then Yerushalmi says importance, meaning Torah is more important than anything else. Chesed's number two, and Avoda is number three. And the Mechilta does it in terms of historical development, meaning first we had Chesed, and then we got to Torah, Shavuos, coming up very soon. And the third was Tefillah, or Korbanos, that came afterwards. So you can read Irving Bunim on the bottom over here, great Jewish activist in the 20th century. He has a parish in Pirkei Avos as to why it's called Gemilas Chasadim and not Gemilas Chesed. He quotes Shakespeare. You can discuss, see that on your own. Wish everybody a wonderful day. Next week we will continue with Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. Have a great day.